Okay, what we have to keep in mind is that there are wolves operating among us. The Bible says that to beware false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening or are devouring wolves, Jesus warned. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits to see whether they are of God. For many, not a few, but many false prophets are going out among you and going out into the world." You see, as you discern the true and the false leaders operating in our midst, always remember that it's not only what is being taught, but what is not being taught. And sometimes what's not being taught can be the most deadly subtraction from the equation of holy truth. What a leader is not teaching can be as deadly as what he is propagating or teaching. Concerning Jude 4, which is a scripture that continues to resurface during this whole series, and it speaks of contending against those false teachers who are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, Donald Stamps, in the Life and the Spirit Study Bible, he writes this: "Grace concerning grace of our God into lasciviousness." He says, "Lasciviousness means unrestrained vice or sexual freedom. Jude denounces certain persons who teach that salvation by grace allows professed believers to indulge in serious sin and yet not be condemned by God. They may have taught that God, like many teachers today, will freely forgive those who continually engage in sexual lust and don't repent, or that those who presently live in moral filth are eternally secure if they have trusted in Christ sometime in the past. They preached pardon for sin, but not the imperative of holiness," unquote. The Lord here warns us, guys, that these men who teach this doctrine in our day have crept in unawares. In other words, these men come to us as men of God, some in long established and widely accepted pulpits and denominations, and with all the right, quote unquote, credentials, that is, in the eyes of men, not God. Because of this, most do not suspect them to be deceivers. Why? Because they put their trust in men and in organizations and in so-called inspired writers who aren't the inspired writers of the Bible. And when you don't know the Word of God yourself, friend, you can't judge whether or not you're being led astray by somebody misusing Scripture. You have no ability to rightly divide the Word of truth unless you're studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And therefore, in the end, you're going to be ashamed. If you don't get in the Word yourself, it won't get into you, and you won't be able to discern who's using Scripture, even using Scripture to manipulate you into a doctrine, a teaching, or a way of life that God Himself never intended. See, the Holy Ghost says these men are ungodly men, quote unquote, who are denying Christ and His teachings by teaching a license for sin or lasciviousness. They're denying Christ by teaching contrary to His teachings. Jesus didn't give anybody a license to sin. He said, you got to die. You got to deny yourself. You got to be crucified with Christ, as Paul said. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. See, living your own life the way you want to live it is not a life abiding in Christ or denying yourself and living unto Him. You're living unto self. You're your own God. Can you save yourself from eternal damnation? No. Will your one profession of faith and your truly getting saved, born again experience last year or 10 years ago or whenever in the past save you? If in fact you go back into sin, you deny Christ, you depart from the faith, you go a whoring from God, you backslide, you're living in sin and moral filth, and if you're not trusting Christ with all your heart, you're living in sin. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You think that you're really going to enter into heaven like that? All the Scripture says that you will not have any part in heaven. And in fact, it were better for you not to have known the way of righteousness than after you've known it to turn from the holy commandment. You're like a dog that has returned to his vomit. God says that we need to repent and return to Him before it's too late. Okay, in this Jude verse 3 and 4 passage, the specific reason cited here that these deceivers are to be identified as false is their lascivious teachings, due to the fact that in their teaching they are turning the grace of God, the grace of our God, into lasciviousness. In teaching this lawless falsehood, these men actually deny the Lord God and Lord Jesus Christ because they are teaching contrary to His holy nature and teachings. Romans 8:8 says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Romans 8:13 says, "If you live after the flesh, you shall die." Spiritual death. You're separated from God. What could be clearer? The unconditional eternal security teaching appeals to the fleshly nature of men, which find pleasure in sin instead of denying it and dying to it, that Christ Himself might be glorified in their lives. See, Galatians 5:24 says, "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust of the flesh. Okay? And 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12 says that these people did not remain in the truth, did not love the truth and migrate to the truth of Scripture, but had rather had pleasure in unrighteousness. And for this reason, God is going to turn them over and cause them to be damned. D-A-M-N-E-D. That's His word. 2 Thessalonians 2:12. Okay? You can argue with him if you want. John the Baptist cried out, "He must increase. I must what? Decrease." That's anything but a license for sin. Men who shun the light will justify their sins and even intentionally place themselves under the teaching of deceivers who refuse to declare that God is holy and demands His people to be the same. This they do while ignoring the clear teachings and words of Holy Scripture. Some of these people were at some time in the past genuinely born again. And that's tragic that they have now walked away from the Lord, all the while having a form of godliness, believing they're saved. But they're going to be like those who say, "Lord, Lord," on that final day. Jesus Himself invented the term "fall away." How can we argue with that? How can we argue with and deny that there's the possibility of falling away when the Son of God said that you can believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away? See, there's a lot of people out there that deny that there's four types of soil. They only acknowledge three. But Jesus gave four. Luke 8, 12 through 15. See, if such were not true, or such were not a possibility, that is falling away, why would the Son of God ever have used those words? Once saved, always saved is a mere man-made, sin-justifying cliche and not a truth found in the Holy Bible. Friends, we got to ask ourselves, is our theology or our knowledge of God built on a cliche or a series of cliches or on the Word of God? According to the Holy Scriptures, there is no security to those who aren't truly and completely following Christ in their personal lives. They're not abiding in Him. They're not hearing His voice and following Him, which Jesus said is a prerequisite to having eternal security. John 10, 27 through 29. You see, these deceivers who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness don't want to emphasize verse 27. They want to downplay it. People that they teach don't even know what that verse says. They don't care to know it, or they've never been shown it. Jesus said, "No man shall pluck you out of my hand if you're hearing His voice and following Him." If you've discontinued your relationship with Christ, you've grown wanton, you wax cold, He's no longer your first love, you're not hearing His voice and following Him, and that promise doesn't apply to you. It's conditional. It's only for those who are hearing His voice and following Him, according to Jesus Christ Himself. Okay, now can you start to see why it's so important that you study to show your own self approved unto God? Now there's some people listening to me right now that have been hoodwinked into believing that no man can pluck them out of God's hands and that they have eternal life and they're totally secure. John 10:28-29. But they've never been told and shown that Jesus was talking to those who are hearing his voice and following him. That promise is not effectual to you. It does not apply to you if you're not presently hearing his voice and following him. John 10:27. Anyone who teaches that men are unconditionally eternal secure is a false teacher and should be avoided according to Scripture. He's an ungodly man who has turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Those who teach this error of once saved, always saved, communicate that because of God's grace, we have a license to sin, or we are not held responsible as those under the Old Testament were. But to the contrary, the Bible teaches us that because of God's grace, manifested through Jesus Christ, we are more responsible and accountable to the Lord than those who lived under the old covenant. More responsible. His very blood has now been shed for us, which leaves those who have been born again with no excuse to live in sin. None, not a bit. Be ye holy, for I am holy. The scripture says all the way through the Bible, including 1 Peter 1:15-16. Listen to this out of Hebrews 10:28-29. He that despised Moses' law, that is under the old covenant, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer or worse punishment, more severe punishment, suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. He was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Hebrews 10:28-29. Here, God's word tells us that we have a better covenant. Hebrews 8:6. Ratified with the very blood of Jesus. Greater judgment will come upon those who despise the blood of Christ given to us in the New Testament era. With his sinless blood, he has provided great grace in order that we might live in his holy presence and in his will, which is holiness, personal holiness. Okay, God's grace never enables or condones sinful living, but rather, nor does it cover it, but rather it enables the recipient to live free from sin. A grace that would forgive without demanding change would make God an accomplice to evil. Did you hear that? Any grace, so-called grace, quote-unquote, that would forgive sin, okay, without demanding change would make God an accomplice to evil. Listen to Matthew 3:8. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for or consistent with repentance. God requires that you bring forth the fruit of holiness. Read Romans 6. You'll learn all about it. Okay? Bring forth, that will prove that you've repented and that you have and are returned to the Lord. Okay? It's not enough to return initially. You got to stay with the Lord. You got saved. God saved you. Good. Now stay saved. That's the message of Scripture. Paul said, I keep under my body. It's not a one-time thing. I keep it under, lest by any means after I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul didn't believe in unconditional eternal security. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Go read it. In many evangelical circles, the grace, the so-called grace of God, as they define it, supposedly frees the one who has been granted salvation from the responsibilities to live holy before God. Is that what Christ meant when he said the truth would make men free? That it would make them free to sin, that is? No, not at all. God forbid. To those who have believed, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay? If you continue in his word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But if you don't continue in his word, you won't really know the truth. You'll be led away with lies, including the lie of lasciviousness. And the truth will not make you free from eternal damnation in the fires of hell and the lake of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth and no rest day or night forever. No water, and there'll be no second chance, no possibility to escape. In a million years in earth's time, not 1 second from eternity's time clock will have expired, and you'll still be consciously tormented. Jesus taught us that in the end of Mark 9, 42 through 49, that the fires will never be quenched, and your worm will never die. In other words, your consciousness. Now, you got to read that in the King James, because it's been all but completely removed from the new versions, as Satan would have it. See, the Lord frees his people from sin and to serve him. Okay? What's it say in Matthew 1:21? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from, not in, from their sins. Remember John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Takes them away. If you still have them, then something's wrong. You don't have Christ. If you're still living in them. In this false grace camp that we're talking about, obedience becomes optional. It's something that's taken very lightly. The recipient of salvation has the choice to obey or to disobey the Lord. And yet eternal life is retained, they say, no matter what. No matter what the person does after he is truly saved. To the once saved, always saved proponent, the grace, so-called grace of God, allows the, quote, chosen and, quote, elect the license to live any way they wish and still be saved to heaven at death, even if that person dies in the depth of depravity and sin, which is unbelief is an evil sin in the eyes of God. That's all it takes. So this would mean that because of an authentic one-time profession of faith, the town drunk or prostitute may be saved and on their way to heaven, even though they have no present relationship with the Lord of heaven. But to the honest-hearted Bible student, such a license to sin or a grace is completely foreign. The grace of God has made us free to serve him, not free to be irresponsible or sinful. Romans 6, 1 and 2 says, What shall we say then? What shall we say, he says. He's reasoning. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Romans 6, 1 and 2. As is evident throughout Holy Scripture, the liberty granted by God in salvation is anything but freedom to sin. It's freedom from sin that it gives you. Listen to 2 Corinthians 6, 1. As we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. You can receive it in vain by going back in the sin after being saved by the grace of God. Listen to Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. The liberty that we've been given of the grace of God is to love him, to serve him, and to elevate him, and to bless his people and serve them as unto him. Not to live in sin or live unto ourselves or live outside of the lordship of Christ. You have to deny yourself and take up your cross if you're going to follow Jesus. And if you're not doing that, you're not following Jesus, who is the only way to heaven. Therefore, you're not going. You're not on the narrow road that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Listen to 1 Peter 2:16. As free and not using your liberty, he's talking to believers. You're free, as free, and not using your liberty that God gave you for a cloak of maliciousness or sin, but as the servants of God. Okay? We don't have a license for sin. That is foreign to the teachings of Holy Scripture. And he that is holy, 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 will only bring into his eternal glory those that are abiding in him and being made holy by his grace and by their own desire to love him more than self and to uphold him as their first love. Now, the good news is that those Ephesian believers in Revelation 2, 1 through 7, who had left their first love, still had an opportunity to be restored. And if you're listening to this message, you still have an opportunity while you're hearing this message to be saved, to be rescued, to be restored, to return to the Lord, to repent. That's what he said they needed to do, to return and to repent. And Hosea 14:1 says to repent and return to the Lord and bring words of confession and love and return to the Lord, your God, who came and died on that cross for your sins. He loves you. May God bless each of us to be united in our hearts to fear his holy name. Amen.